I want to take you to a different place now. Imagine that you are a peasant in 17th century rural Ireland, and it is springtime. Those last vestiges of winter were raw enough to bring tears to stones. But today, the sheep are grazing in the field under the old oaks. You don't know who's happier about the returning sun, the sheep or you. But the granary is almost empty, and you're worried about putting enough food on the table for your children, let alone yourself. Thankfully, you are well underway in planting your wheat crops. As the sun warms your skin and the fields, you imagine the nuts and the wheat and the corn that hopefully will flourish in the coming weeks and months. You want to put your prayers for crop fertility into action, and your grandparents taught you the tradition of lighting fires to celebrate springtime. And this is the time for the festival of Beltane, where bonfires symbolize cleansing the field, creating the best conditions for the new crops. Now is that time to light the fires for all kinds of fertility, including bringing new healthy babies into the villages. And those fires are also for what the Greeks called eros, or romantic love. It's time for springtime. Here we are in Philadelphia in 2015, and thankfully the winter bleakness has passed. Spring has sprung. I myself am on a learning curve about Beltane, the ancient ritual of springtime. Doing some research, I learned that the largest Beltane Festival currently in the world happens in Edinburgh, Scotland. So I went on this festival's website and I was looking at the pictures and I got a little concerned and embarrassed because in many photos, large numbers of people are naked with their bodies painted from head to toe in green and purple and they're playing around in rather promiscuous ways. So, choir. Well, so I thought, Houston, we have a problem. Because I think I'm going to be very embarrassed to preach on an event that involves large numbers of people getting naked and painting their bodies and playing around in the fields with large bonfires. Not that there is anything wrong with that. Of course. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just don't preach on it very often. But so then I realized, of course, yes, these are topics that need to be addressed in the worship service and lifted up. First of all, in our modern era of smartphones and internet, I need to reconnect with the cycles of the season and the blessings of Mother Earth and Father Sky. Coming out of our own debilitating winter, we need to reconnect with the sun-kissed blessings of seeds springing forth, grass growing green, and crops providing sustenance. All of that springtime energy that's in the air and our connections with Earth, I crave it, and I know I've heard a lot of people talk about that as well. And we need to celebrate not only the glory of making healthy babies, or any babies, but sexual interactions which enliven the spirit. Yes, we need sex in the church. Sex in the church. Yes. For those of you who are tweeting right now, maybe you could use this line instead. The church, we need to address healthy sexual interactions. Healthy sexuality. So I've been putting together the pieces for myself this week between Beltane and Unitarian Universalism. And of course, as Unitarian Universalists, we are proud in our declarations that every person's sexuality is sacred and worthy of respect, not to be violated. Not to be violated. Everyone should have choice all the time to say yes or no to anything they are or are not involved in. We proclaim in our relationships to others our freedom of sexuality is as important as our responsibility for our sexual actions. Freedom and responsibility completely interwoven. Religious concepts. We UUs have been exploring this awareness and advocating for this, each person's sexual integrity for decades. This year, we have a wonderful, superb program for Our Whole Lives for our teenagers that has been going on intensively all year. I went through this version of it 30 years ago. It is some of the best stuff about physiology and health and choices so that our kids are equipped to know the realities and to make good, healthy decisions for themselves and with others. And you should brag about that wherever you are and invite other religious communities to check it out. This year, we've had a wonderful analogous program for adults, developmentally appropriate, Our Whole Lives, excellent spirituality and sex eds for human beings in the safe religious community. In part of the festival for the Festival of Light in Edinburgh, I think they're talking about the ways in which love comes together in the three different ways the Greeks talked about it, eros, philia, and agape. Philia is the type of love that you have with a bond of friendship or companions. Agape is universal love, often miraculous and mysterious. You see a child in a public space, you've never seen this child before in your life, but somehow you just know you would sacrifice yourself to protect this child. It's a good example of agape. And Beltane celebrates both of those, but it also celebrates the eros, the type of love that is taboo in many of the world's religious traditions. It's the romantic, sexual love that brings people together in intimacy. Now, of course, this kind of love has often been off limits in many of the world's religious traditions or twisted up in ways that become destructive. But it's not always been like that. There are many historic examples. It's not just modern psychology that has helped the church to embrace eros. We find these kinds of stories in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, Song of Songs, two protagonists, Solomon and Shulamite, with grand emotion. Solomon proclaims in courtship, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." And I really want to know, is that who is embarrassed right now? Besides the minister. And I want to encourage you to pay attention, because you can use these lines from the Old Testament in your own daily life in 2015. Solomon sounds like he's at the Beltane Festival. He's so thrilled with what's going on that he says, "Until day breaks and the shadows flee away, he will go up to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense." So Shulamite must have been delighted to know he was so ramped up that he's going to go sit on a hill all night long, because he could not calm down from the erotic energy going on between them. She must have been something. Shulamite says that Solomon himself is like a cluster of flowers in the vineyard. He is the apple tree, which is the best among the lesser trees. So listen, embrace your ability to wax poetic for your beloved. This is biblically endorsed, people. Let it flow. Let it flow. If it sounds corny, it probably means it's good. You can make up these own lines yourself. The true beauty in Shulamite thrills Solomon. The true beauty in Solomon thrills Shulamite. Adoring and complementing each other, those two are especially aligned with greater spiritual energy in the world, which is a blessing in our human existence. And any of us are blessed in those moments when we experience that energy, and we know that all of us go through periods of time, short and long, where we don't have that inner life, and they can be tough. Sometimes it's great to get rid of that energy. But Beltane reminds us of the spiritual wisdom that sexuality can create beauty and holy experiences. The great Jewish theologian Martin Buber taught that having sex on the Sabbath is mitzvah. Having sex on the Sabbath. Tweet that. Having sex on the Sabbath is a mitzvah or doing a good deed. Sex can help to reenact the original creation of earth by God, the rabbi said. And all modern studies show that healthy sex can help people to survive, to heal, and to thrive. Healthy sex can help well-being. And when society makes Eros off limits as a spiritual experience, we're prone to injury or major problems, let alone missing out on the sacredness of being alive. Shulamite was a wise woman. I'm guessing she would have been a Unitarian, if reading the text correctly. She knew enthralling, rapturous, ecstatic feelings of love don't last forever. Shulamite knew that those feelings come and go. So she told Solomon, we need to go back to the village and engage with the community, not with Eros. She wanted to parlay the flow of Eros by getting back to the community with some agape and some philia. She wanted to go back and engage in some concrete acts of kindness and forgiveness and helping, because their batteries were charged up. And I could not agree anymore. Taking actions on the feelings of Eros or philia or agape can create well-being. Sometimes life feels so magical. We feel like doves flying in the air, or we observe flowers and we just cannot believe their beauty and their intricacy. We feel like the Buddha sitting under the apple tree. But sometimes life does not feel magic at all. The magic is gone. We don't feel wacky in love for a spouse or a lover or our community or God or life. And this week, I'll bet many of us watching the video of Baltimore felt our hearts crushed, sad. I wept. I wept to see that. And sometimes whatever you have, whatever the hand life has dealt you right now, you have to just play it and take those steps back in your village and intentionally engage in actions which will move us forward with love and forgiveness. Let this be a day of encouragement for all of us. Let's embrace Mother Earth and Father Sky. Let's light bonfires at night. Let's take a walk in the neighborhood and listen as closely as we possibly can to every bird call. Play love songs and dance around the maypole. May this gathering provide strength for us to engage in acts of creativity for all kinds of love, courage, and hope. Blessings be. Amen.